bow for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day that you've given us to come together and worship you and praise you and love you and love one another and talk to one another and fellowship with one another and study the Word of God together, to grow together, to be encouraged together, to be strengthened for what we are facing now and what we're going to face in the future. I thank you for the Word of God that gives us direction. It gives us warning. And it prepares us for what we need to be prepared for. That's how much love you have for your people. Nothing should catch us off guard as the children of the Lord. We must study the Word of God. Help us to do that. Satan does not like that. He will try to discourage it and stop it. Help us to overcome that by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. I pray as we look at the message here in just a moment that you will enlighten us another day of more truth from your Word. We need absolute truth and we need absolute reality in this world of fake news that we live in. Seems that nobody knows really much of the truth except you. So we need to listen to you. We need to read your Word. We need to live it to be salt and to be light in every situation you allow us to be in, that you may be glorified, people may be saved, and learn how to live a godly life in this world that is ungodly. A fallen world full of evil and sin. Open our eyes. Give us spiritual understanding of your spiritual word. We may function in your spiritual kingdom and be spiritually pleasing unto you. We ask this all in Jesus' name and to our growth and maturity in Christ. Amen and amen. I want you to take your printout as we begin this morning. I hope you have something to write with. Notice the title, Nation Against Nation, Kingdom Against Kingdom. Now, let's do some writing. Let's add a note right here. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. This is a part of God's divine plan. This is a part of God's divine plan. So do not be afraid when nation goes against nation and kingdom goes against kingdom. It is part of God's plan. So don't be afraid. God has not lost control of anything. He will never lose control, the Bible says. Look at that subtitle, Racial and Ethnic Conflict in the World. Underline the word racial. If you look up the word racial, it can mean one who is superior over the other. It can refer to prejudice. It can refer to discrimination. Racial and ethnic conflict in the world. Jesus says, get ready for it. It was already there. It's here today. It's going to be worse in the future. So Heavenly Father, prepare us as your children of how to face conflict. How to face racial and ethnic conflict in the world that we live in. There is something very important in the Greek that adds even more meaning to this end-time scenario in Matthew 24:7. The word nation in Greek is where we get the word ethnic. This means Jesus was actually forecasting a time when ethnic groups would rise up against other ethnic groups. Are you seeing that on TV today? Yes. Here's the question. Number one, do racial conflicts seem to be escalating today? The answer is a big yes. In fact, tensions have risen on many fronts to a boiling point, and we are seeing that on TV in many states. In fact, all across the world. So look at this title, Conflict Over Religion and Politics. Those who work in international affairs are well aware that these conflicts are getting worse. Whether it's racial tensions in the United States, conflicting tribes in Africa, Muslim factions in the Middle East, antagonism or hostility between nations in Europe, or ethnic issues. Underline the word ethnic issues. Let's define ethnic issues. Ethnic issues can be religious issues, racial issues, cultural issues, identity politics issues. I just happen to have a definition of identity politics. Here it is. Identity politics is used as a tool to frame political claims, promote political ideologies, or stimulate social and political action, usually in a larger context of inequality or injustice, and with the aim of asserting group distinctiveness and belonging and gaining power and recognition. I hope that will ring a bell when you think about identity politics, because we are up to our neck in them. Hostility between nations in Europe or ethnic issues in other parts of the world. Furthermore, these conflicts are more difficult to resolve than in past years. It seems to all be leading to a less controlled, less predictable world. I have something else to read that you don't. Number one, there is a push for Minnesota, and now other states are falling in line as I speak to you. There is a push for Minnesota and other states to disband or abolish police. And again, more calls, they say, are coming in from other states. Secondly, celebrities are paying for looters to be set free from jail. Number three, violence, they say, many, is committed as a result of cops, not rioters. Violence, I'll repeat, some say, many say, is committed as a result of cops, not rioters. Then there's the next thing that caught my ear. Selective outrage. Selective outrage. If a black man kills a black, no outrage among the black. If you have black and white issue, then to them it is a license to many of them, not all of them, to loot, to burn, to steal, and destroy. So there is selective outrage in the United States of America today. Jim and I were talking the other day, we were talking about black and white issues. Many today say, I am black and I am a Christian. The correct way to say it would be, I am a Christian, I just happen to be black. Let me say it unto you. Red, yellow, black, or white. Whatever color you are, God made you that color. And therefore, we are also taught as white people to apologize for being white. That is actually saying in the face of God, God, you made a mistake in making me white. God cannot make mistakes. And if you happen to be white, it's because God made you white. And you have a purpose of being white. Here's another thing that rocks me a little bit. I believe the Bible says we're all created in the image of God. The problem we see in our streets today, they say, that are causing many to march is inequality and injustice. I beg to differ. It is a black heart. It is a person of unrighteousness. It is a person that does not understand one Lord. When a rioter tells our police, bow your knees, you should not do that. There's only one to bow a knee before, and we should all be bowing to one who is King Jesus, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Bowing the knee to another man is not going to solve anything. That is a finite, limited action. We need to know what it is to live out the word of the infinite one, the word of the living God. That's the only thing that will change the heart of man, change the behavior of man, and change the belief of a man, where we can all live together regardless of color. Amen? Thank you. Here's another phrase. If you don't do what we tell you, we will hurt you. I heard that on Fox News as they were filming the rioters. If you don't do what we tell you, we will hurt you. And I have yet to see anything worse than I saw the other night of people being beat up, some killed. And the police were told, and it's not the fault of the police, don't get me wrong. I back them 150%, and this church does too. We must allow our policemen to police. We must allow them to have the authority that is needed to confront those that are committing criminal injustices. Do we understand that? Thank you. You can't hold their hand and sing Kumbaya or preach Pollyanna sermons. It doesn't work. Liberals, Dems, liberal Dems are experimenting with lawlessness. Liberal Dems are experimenting with lawlessness. I was surprised, but I shouldn't have been, because is not Jesus teaching this? Is it not in Matthew chapter 24, written a long time ago? Did he not predict all of this was going to happen, and it was going to get worse and worse and worse? Back to the printout. As power becomes more diffused and hostility among regional powers intensifies, rendering resolutions to these conflicts becomes even more complex. Jesus prophesied the stirring of ethnic groups. Who's going to do the stirring? Satan is going to do the stirring. Is God going to allow it? Evidently, because he said it's going to happen. Jesus prophesied the stirring of ethnic groups, including racial, religious, and political groups and factions, in the very last days of the church age that you and I are living in at this very moment. The church age will come to an end at the rapture of the church. So Jesus prophesied the stirring of ethnic groups, including racial, religious, and political groups and factions, in the very last days. These contentions are happening with greater frequency. You might want to underline those two words. What is happening, and what makes it so different today, is all of this is happening with greater frequency in our day. The fact that these uprisings are occurring on a greater scale confirms Jesus' words. And if Jesus said it, then you heard absolute truth and absolute reality. He is speaking of something that is sure to happen, and you can count on it. So take these words as preparation and take them as warning and take them as spiritual stability in your life as a child of the living God. The fact that these uprisings are occurring on a greater scale confirms Jesus' words and sounds a very clear signal that we are approaching the very end again of the church age. Here's another title: violent force and a lust for superiority. Jesus said again, nation shall rise against nation. That's not going to stop. You and I cannot stop that. There is no military that is going to stop that. Jesus said it is going to happen. It is part of His divine plan. He is going to allow Satan to play havoc. And remember that Satan is on a leash, and God is at the other end of that leash. God will allow Satan to do certain things under His control. If you read the Bible, you'll understand that. So Jesus said, nation shall rise against nation. Look at the word against. This word in the Greek is epi. It adds the ideal of force. Jesus was forecasting a time when nations or ethnic groups would forcibly or violently rise up against other groups. Top of page 2. The word epi also means upon, and in this sense, it depicts one group trying to gain superiority over another. Are you seeing this in Washington, D.C.? Are you seeing this of those that are unjustly marching on the streets in the United States today? There you go. One group is trying to gain authority. I listened to one young black girl being interviewed by Fox News, and he was asking her about this and if she could give definition to it and some clarity and some understanding. And she says, we are not afraid of the police. We will become such a group in force that we will overcome the police. In the house of God, preachers better get to preaching the Word of God. Our government has the responsibility to protect the people of the United States of America. And next time it comes to voting privileges, you better take it all in consideration of who to vote in office in the next elections. You might want to ask God who He wants in office next. Here's a point. Human wisdom. What is it? Human wisdom. Understanding of what is true. Is there any human being that can stand and say, I know what is true? Are you and I looking for limited truth from another human being? I think we've had enough. Don't you think it's time to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient, who is infinite, He is unlimited, He is absolute truth, He is absolute reality? And that is the truth and the reality that the church is to stand upon and march upon, march behind, and follow one leader, and that is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Human wisdom, understanding of what is true. Good luck with that one. What is right? What is right? Here's a definition today you ask somebody in society. Tell me what's right. He says, what I think is right is right. And so whatever you think is right is okay with me. So right is now what you think. There's only one right way of worship, one right way of being saved, one right way of living, and that is the way of the Word of the living God. We must not stray from the path of the Word of the living God. Stay the course. Thank you. Human wisdom, understanding of what is true or what is right. Good sense won't get you into heaven. What is good sense compared to divine sense? Nothing. Human wisdom will never prevail over the seething contentions. You know why? Today, people have a hard time getting over themselves. It's not about you, it's not about me, it's about Jesus Christ working in me and through me. And when that is received, then we can start coming together as one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We will come under that and bow a knee to that and live by the absolute truth and absolute reality of God's holy word. Human wisdom will never prevail over the seething contentions that challenge the world today. Only the wisdom and power of God. Did you get that one? I'm not mentioned here, neither are you. I didn't read of another human being. We're talking about something that is divine, it is of God, it is supernatural. Let's look at it. Only the wisdom, this is divine wisdom. Underline that word wisdom. What is wisdom? Several things. Number one, it is the wisdom of God here living by His Word. It is living by the Word of God. Secondly, wisdom is to know and understand godliness. Is Satan attacking godliness today? Absolutely. He doesn't like it. He hates it. He will do anything to stop it in our churches, in our schools, anywhere. Thirdly, wisdom is to do what is pleasing to God. Wisdom is to do what is pleasing unto God. Only the wisdom and power, underline the word power, that is a supernatural power. Why does it take the supernatural power of God? Because you and I are fighting a supernatural force. His name is Satan. And no human being is a match for Satan. Well, I'm a child of God. Maybe you didn't hear me. Child of God, you are no match for Satan. That's God's work. You just submit to God, He'll take care of Satan for you. Only the wisdom and power of God manifested, underline the word manifested. Manifested means to make known. It means to make apparent to the sight or the understanding. Reread it. Only the wisdom of God and the supernatural power of God manifested. Wow, it took my thinking plumb out of it. It took my intellect plumb out of it. It's the wisdom of God. It's the supernatural power of God that can stop what is taking place. Is the church ready for it? Are you too scared? Don't you ever take a knee. Except to Jesus Christ. Amen. Only the wisdom and power of God manifested through, underline the word, through. That means God's working in and through you. Guess what? If God wants to do something through you, then Satan wants to block what God wants to do through you. He wants to block the through, right? Okay, so it's got to be unblocked and kept unblocked. Manifested through His people will push back the dark forces. These are demonic forces. They are highly organized that instigate these conflicts and rescue many who are perishing amidst the bloody turmoil. Here's another title, Uncivil Politics. You've had a gut full of it. You're sick of it. God, isn't there some relief coming? After Jesus told His disciples, nation shall rise against nation, He added, and kingdom shall rise against kingdom. Again, we see the word against used in this phrase. from the Greek word epi, E-P-I, indicating force or a desire to take a superior dominant position over another. The word kingdom in Matthew 24:7 refers to a dominion or realm of power and influence. The word kingdoms could present the ideal of nations, political parties, alliances, and even ideological factions maneuvering. Satan is full of maneuvers. He's been maneuvering since he hit planet Earth. And he ain't stopped. And boy, does he have some game film on how human beings respond to his maneuvering. Back to the printout. Jesus foretold that the kingdom shall rise against kingdom toward the end of the age. And again, the word shall is used in this verse to prophetically point to events that will occur in the future. Jesus was speaking of something that would occur in a significant way in the future toward the conclusion of the church age. To understand what Jesus was talking about, we could reflect on the political behavior we are seeing today. We may be witnessing the most uncivil politics in contemporary history. We are watching one party or affiliation not only try to gain superiority over another, but they also seem to be trying to decimate, which means to destroy or kill if necessary. It is the clashing of one realm against another realm, one ideology against another ideology, as each tries to doom the other. This scramble for superiority is at almost any cost, alerts us that our culture has taken a nosedive in terms of civility. Listen. You've heard it before. But I want you to hear it enough that you can nearly recite it back. Question. What is life all about? Answer. Being born. Discovering absolute truth and absolute reality in the person Jesus Christ. He's getting us ready for the time He's going to call us home. Not cancer, not a heart attack. He will call us home when our days are up, He says. He's getting us ready for the time He's going to call us home and give an account for our life. Question, how confident are you about confronting death? Two things lie ahead of you, death and judgment. And remember, you cannot change them no matter what. Our time is allotted. First of all, time is a grace gift. Secondly, time is defined as this, as allotted, given and assigned for a particular purpose. Those marching on the streets today, do they understand this? They have life, they're breathing. It is a grace gift. And God is saying, I have charged you to do what I want you to do with it. Be of good service to your fellow man and worship me as the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And I will give you what you cannot give yourselves, and that is peace of God. And remember, you cannot change them no matter what. Our time is allotted. It is given and assigned for a particular purpose. Our time is designated. How much time has God given you to do all He has called you to do? We have a life to live and we have something to leave. God lets us live to have an influence, to make a difference in someone else's life, to get us ready and to fulfill His purpose and plan for our life. Where does obedience fit in your daily life, your daily thinking? Is Jesus Christ first in your life, the life that He has loaned you? Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? How do you feel about your own death? And you stand before Him one day, He's going to judge every human being. Amen. Well, Lord, I marched up and down the streets because I didn't get what I felt like I needed. And the answer that will come from Jesus Christ, if you would have sought the kingdom of God first, I would have given you everything you needed. But you were too stuck on yourself. You let Satan convince you because you didn't have the godly standard to measure everything by. You missed the whole show. Back to the printout very quickly. This scramble for superiority, last sentence of the paragraph, at almost any cost, alerts us that our culture has taken a nosedive in terms of civility. The next sign Jesus gives us, famines and economic instability. This is an end-time prediction of scarcity of all types in the last days. Thank you for the advice of how to prepare for what's coming. You know what? There's a blessing in that. If you prepare, surely those that haven't prepared, it will get their attention and you'll have an opportunity to witness to them about Jesus Christ. There's a blessing in being prepared. You can share it with others. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day that You've given us and blessed us with. We thank You for the truth of Your Word, that we don't have to guess about absolute truth and absolute reality in the world that we live in. We don't have to guess about what's coming down the road. Thank You for the words of preparation that You've given us. Thank You for the warning that is here. Thank You for the direction that we should be taking. And no doubt we will have probably many opportunities to share Christ with others. And they'll see that we have been blessed, not perfect people, but just blessed people, because we have chosen to receive Christ as Savior and to live obedient lives unto Him, that He may work in us and through us. Thank You for loving us. God bless these people. Help them in their situations that they are facing at the moment. There is an answer. God's got it. Call upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.